You're an entrepreneur. You're a leader. You're a high-performance individual. But many of you are so busy, you're thinking about today only. But what about tomorrow? This is the Alchemist Lounge. We focus in like a laser beam on exploring the art of transformational leadership, company culture, and the alchemical elements of creating and managing healthy and thriving organizations. This is a forum for leaders to hear cutting-edge perspectives, learn how to evolve yourself, and build thriving and sustainable leadership habits and businesses that stand the test of time. Get ready to learn from one of the best, The Alchemist Lounge, with your host, Alex Atwood.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Alchemist Lounge. I'm your host, Alex Atwood, and today we're going on a deep dive into the realm of executive coaching and personal growth with our guest, Cindy Whitmoyer. So Cindy is a master-level coach with an impressive resume spanning over 25 years. Cindy brings international business expertise, leadership training, and development skills to the table. She's the driving force behind Leads Us. And as its CEO and growth and co-founder, she's recognized as a professional certified coach by the IFC, which is the ICF, I should say, the International Coach Federation. I should know that. I'm also certified. And Cindy's client portfolio includes a wide spectrum from leading government agencies to multinational corporations. I am so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. And thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Absolutely. Well, you and I met through the coaching community, and we've already discussed some different avenues that we could take to empower certain industries and certain people within those industries. But I want to start it off with something that I did for my company, Gravy Work, recently, and it was a workshop. And what we did was we delved into empathy and compassionate leadership as cornerstones of trust for our company. So my first question is, could you shine some light on some of the unique attributes that empathetic leadership bring to the table that differentiate it from other leadership styles?
Yeah, no, that's a beautiful question. And, you know, Alex, I think that empathy, especially right now where we are in the space of doing a lot of redefining as human beings, is so important for our sense of understanding and creating a deeper sense of understanding. And without that, I think that we can sometimes not be able to go into the depths of conversations and looking to the foresight altogether. Because when we do that and we are empathetic, it does open us up in a way that dives into being more curious, I think. And when we lean in with more curiosity versus that judgment mentality, it does automatically start filtering in the sense of psychological safety and trust as defined by the beholder, right? I mean, we all come with a different, different sense of that. But yet, empathy right today, I think, is what bears light to our future. I really do. And when you are leading in the sense of listening, even just being a listener with more empathy, it changes what you receive and how you receive that information. So I love it because I think that empathy and trust can just become a powerhouse and they blend so well together. It's almost like the holding each other's hand concept. So I love that you asked that. And as coaches, just to get to that place, I have to, as a coach, start there as being someone who is leaning in to understand. And often that begins with, okay, I'm going to start with being a little empathetic to what I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that is, first of all, what I heard was that I heard listening, right? And I heard taking a moment to actually connect allows for that empathy to show up. But as leaders, some leaders are what they would call type A personalities, right? Mm-hmm. And leaders in general like to find ways to solve problems mm-hmm. and like to find ways to be first to market or to be, you know, the ahead of whatever competition they may have. So those natural abilities to empathize and find compassion aren't always available to some of the leaders that I work with. And so my second question is, so how can we better cultivate empathy and compassion to understand and connect more with our team members? What's the best way to cultivate that?
Yeah, you know, oftentimes we lead a certain way. And I think there's just like a point in our career that we have to almost like unlearn certain things that have got us to where we are today. And, you know, almost ride the bicycle backwards at times. If leaders are feeling that sense of, you know, they're getting feedback, for instance, you know, I feel like I'm not being heard. I feel like I don't belong here. And so many of these things that we've heard lately in being coaches and being in organizations and supporting leadership, today is that moment to almost unlearn and unstructure some of those things that have worked in the past. I can say now more than ever, we have more of a relational mindset in business than we ever have had in history. Mm. From where I stand in my 20-something years of business, I would say we have almost gone to this relational transactional blend, which is a different leadership style. I mean, if you're driving a transaction today, and that's all you're focused on, I think you might be missing just a small component to what a relationship can build into the bottom line of a true transaction. And that goes back to intentional leadership. So if I'm leading in a different way than I am from the past, I think it's very wise as leaders to look at not only the transaction, the bottom line, the strategy, that left brain mentality, that type A mentality, but how does playing into the relationship of leading others tie in to that left side, that left driver. And this is where I look to my leaders and go, okay, if you're going to build your best team, who on here is the total opposite of you? Who on here brings a total different skill set that will actually elevate your game? Leaders don't always need to be a subject matter expert. If they build their wingman to be the subject matter expert for them, bring 90% of the game to them, that's 10% that all they have to do is put their eyes on it and drive it forward. That's time not wasted. That's leaning in with empathy, trust, building power. And I think it's more of creating that eco mindset versus ego mindset, which ego mindsets are not, it's not a bad thing. I think we have to have an ego to a certain extent, but when we look at leaders and how they utilize that mentality and that behavior, I think finding a nice blend between the two is very, very wise, especially with the way the world is working today.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. For leaders who haven't necessarily practiced or cultivated these sorts of conversations, what are some tools or what are some ways they can practice having these more empathetic communication styles with their teams? What are some things they could do like right away to start to bring that into their organization? Because it might feel uncomfortable, right? I mean, if not just to you, to your organization, if you're somebody who's led a certain way, then your organization, your team, whoever it is that you work with has built some sort of virtue of agreement that this is the way that you operate. So what are some tools that a leader or a manager, somebody can put in to start to cultivate that, right?
here we go. This is my big one. And sometimes it takes me a while to get my leaders there to this moment, but yeah. It's what can I learn from you? When they lean in to ask the people that they are leading, what can I learn from you? Mm. It shifts that paradigm. And why not? I would say to a leader, what's holding you back not to ask that question?
Yeah.
And how does that play into intentional strategy? People feeling a sense of belonging because they see themselves in that bottom line and the performance that's being driven. And it's almost like the zeal of life, of celebration of someone being asked. I mean, if I've sat in more team coaching sessions and individual coaching sessions to hear, well, and they're pointing the finger in all different directions, but there is no, that you are the leader. There's no.
Yeah.
And you're leading those that are also leaders. So we've got to get almost out of our own way as leaders to look at those that are helping drive that bottom line, to be empathetic, to build the trust, which then, of course, elevates the performance and the engagement measures that are actually really suffering for some time. We've looked at engagement surveys a lot and looked at the suffering that has happened and people walking. And I'm like, what's the best way? I've been asked multiple times, what is the best way to get people back engaged? And I'm like, ask them. It's that simple. Mm. How much are you telling versus asking?
Goes right back to leadership.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how much are you as a leader to let go of that stronghold to just simply ask versus tell? I do it with my kids, especially growing into young adults, right? I mean, let's simplify it here to amplify this concept. Sometimes I have to ask my young adults, well, what do you think? Because I can give them all the advice in the world, but my lens are different to what they're experiencing versus what I'm experiencing. I can almost say, well, I'm at the balcony and they're in the weeds of life right now. And I'm looking down and I'm like, I'm here. And so sometimes it's not me saying, I've got the answer for you. It's like, what are you experiencing? I need that intel to help them formulate a critical thought process. And without that, are we missing information and or are we moving towards a target that is ultimately an illusion and we're going towards the wrong thing? Understanding is the key here. And each of us bring a lens of a different level of understanding, which I think blended together, we learn from each other. We learn new things. We create things differently. And we also have to be vulnerable in a sense to be able to get there. And it's hard to find that in leadership. But those that do it, let me tell you, hands down, wow. The things that they're doing with their teams and creating. And I think it's a different way than what we've experienced over the last several years.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, as I'm hearing this, just asking that question, right, is vulnerable, right? You're actually asking a question and showing vulnerability to the rest of your team.
Right.
And that is an avenue to connect because what I've learned and what I'm seeing more and more is vulnerability in leadership, right? Like actually being a vulnerable leader, somebody who then is able to connect with others. Because when you're being vulnerable and when you have the strength to do that, then the relatedness changes. So that's beautiful. That really does tie things together. The other side of this, and you mentioned this is, and I hear this a lot from leaders is, defining our goal. Sometimes leaders get so, especially to the small, medium-sized businesses, sometimes leaders become so involved in the day-to-day, just making sure that solutions are met and making sure that they're navigating through the waters and the waves and all of the different things you need to traverse being at the head of an organization. So a question I have for you is, so how do leaders who are facing hurdles in defining their goals, right? Like feeling like maybe somewhat stagnant, how can they utilize executive coaching to realign their objectives and to reimagine how they're running their teams.
Yeah. You know, that's a big part of utilizing your resources really well. And I think that great leaders do that. And, you know, I know that when my clients show up for a coaching session, they're actually saying yes to them. It has nothing to do with me. It's actually them saying yes to themselves. It's saying yes to their well-being. It's saying yes to the strategy they're driving. It's saying yes to their family. It's a personal and professional blend. You're only one. I tell my clients all the time, you're only one human being. Your professional and your personal life are blended. You're one person.
Yes.
And so when you show up to a coaching session, you're actually saying yes to yourself, a time to think. I was just reading something that I sent out to my team that I wrote the other day. And, you know, this is the bottom line that I wrote to my team. And I said, everyone needs a moment to clarify and connect to their purpose. I don't care how much experience you come with today. Everyone evolves. Your purpose is embedded into everything that you create, internally and externally. Get clear, work with your highest intentions, and co-create with a community that will be along with you on that transformational journey. That co-created journey, think about leaders when you think about co-creation and transformation, for elevating what has always been there. You are the expert of yourself. That new idea, new concept is already there. It's taking the time to slow down and allowing it to rise up.
That is very profound. Yeah. That is absolutely right. So when they're working with an executive coach, yep, they're actually making a commitment to themselves, yep, as well as their teams, to self-improvement, right, and continuous self-improvement. So that's huge. And all leaders, or really anybody that's in a position where they feel like they're becoming stagnant or they need guidance, can look at an executive coach. What are some misconceptions surrounding executive coaching that you find are prevalent? Yeah. And how can leaders like navigate through all the different ideas and misconceptions that are in the public sphere?
Well, I love this, and often I get well, you're not an expert of what I do. And I'm like, oh, that's great, because I don't want to be an expert at what you do. What I want to do is be an expert, yeah, to expand on your critical thinking and to expand, yes, you into knowing what's within you and to untether all of these things that you've tethered yourself to, because it actually allows you to evolve into your highest self and the best leadership, that the posture that you can imagine. And you have to be ready to be coached. You must be ready to be coached. It's one thing to give people advice, but that's not the business I'm in, Alex. I'm in the business of allowing people to think for themselves and to design their own way forward. If my mother was a teacher, always great at giving me advice, you know, and I look back and I'm like, God, I just was so deaf to it all. And I'm like, but what makes us any different as a grown adult? We get advice all the time. Well, and we normally don't, yeah, wind up taking it. Maybe some of it drips in, but most of it just, we want to find our own way. And why? Because we want to celebrate ourselves. It gives us a feeling of purpose and defining who we are in the world. And so I think that's the power of coaching. I've done a lot of advice giving. I've taught, I've trained. And when I learned the power of coaching, it is like, wow, you're right. Mm. We all have our answers within. And if we have it within, we are more likely to be accountable, because it's what makes sense for us, because we've designed it.
Absolutely. And now we've become empowered.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So, and you know, what you said, which I'll reinforce, And it's a misconception of all misconceptions when it comes to something called work-life balance. And the idea behind that is that, well, you have to somehow balance your life with work. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You're still alive when you're at work. Even if you're a mortician and working with dead people, you're still alive when you're at work. And so life doesn't end when you go to work, and life doesn't begin when you go back and take care of your personal affairs. It's all one life. And how do you make that life symbiotic? How do you make things work for every aspect of your life? Exercise, family, personal well-being, organizational well-being, all of that ties together for a very beautiful and adventurous life. So do you agree with that?
I do. So I will say I don't use work-life balance anymore because I'm like, I've been searching for balance my whole life. And right. I'm like, does somebody have like a clear design on that? I've read so many self-help books and so forth. And I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm chasing my tail on that one. So I've come up with work life and integration. And I'll say this, that when my business is going well, I have time to spend with my family and have that self time and vice versa. I've got to find this right flow for myself. And everyone is the same way. I mean, if you're burned out at work, take a look. What does your family look like? What does your health look like? And so we've got to figure out if there are truly a balance to this, or can we be okay to figure out our integration points and what makes sense for the day-to-day living that we're all working to do our best. I don't wake up in the morning going, I'm going to make somebody miserable today. I wake up in the morning going, what can I do to take care of my mental capacity, my physical capacity, be the best I can be? I wake up and say, you know, heart, thank you for beating this morning. And before I put my feet on the floor, I give gratitude for my inner being. And it's like, thank you, heart. Thank you for the breath again. And then I go, okay, now it's time to face the realities of the actions that I'm going to face today. And it starts with gratitude. I'm grateful. I get up grateful. Sometimes we get up, we're tired and so forth. But then again, it's like, but you've been given an opportunity to live again, live another day. And what do you want to do with it? So I had to shift that in my own perspective. I was on a self journey to heal. And being a leader and being a working mom and being a single parent at times, because my husband was still in the military. And so I was running a business, raising kids, you know, trying to stay healthy. And I'm like, it starts with yourself. If I can teach my kids and every individual, strangers, to love themselves first, that is going to have a ripple effect.
Yeah, absolutely. That, you know, when I look at your company's motto for Leads Us, it's elevating the humanity of leadership. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about what that phrase means to you?
Yeah, sure. One of the things that we've really researched over the last, especially it was after the pandemic, we sort of switched our little motto and what we were going to focus on. And through the pandemic, we realized that if leaders were taking the time to really think about themselves and elevating themselves, they were actually having a very positive impact on others. And so when you elevate leaders to the point where they're even their language changes, and it's not what was the game like this past weekend, it's like, how are you? How's your health? How's your family? That is elevating the humanity part that leaders actually do really well when they're leading in that capacity. That's that relationship component, you know, going back from the transactional to the relational. Yeah. Elevating the humanity of leadership is really about elevating that part of you that is the care factor of people. I don't care if it's your customers or the people in your organization, you know, driving that business with you. It's the both and. Because when we are elevating our business, we're also having an impact on others. Think about it.
Absolutely.
What is your mission you're driving? And if you're doing a mission that is in service to others, which most of the time it is, right? There you go. You're elevating the humanity part automatically. And I'm like, there's no way around not looking at humanity these days. We have to pay attention. If you have people below certain points of your organizational thought process for moving forward, why isn't it on the top? That's what I ask. Why is it not on the top? The people are going to drive the business as long as you invest in them.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, there's all sorts of thought leadership around this now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's Simon Sinek, for example. You know, he evangelizes starting with the why, right? A lot of companies start with the what and then the how, and then they get to the why. But starting with the why sort of uncovers why you're doing what you do. And most of the time, it comes back to some form of service, some form of service that you're providing. And service provided through humanity is incredibly powerful. So it really does influence the organization's success from the bottom up.
Because people want to attach themselves to something. They want to belong to the effort. So if they can see themselves in that process, they are more likely to believe it and drive it. So just as I have, you know, coaches that work for us, and we elevate the humanity of leadership, and I, you know, to them, what does that mean to you? Well, it's every human that is taken care of, we are elevating each other. Absolutely. Yes. We are elevating each other. And so as a leader, I drive that mentality every single day. I show up to work. Why? Because I want to elevate the humanity of leadership. Leaders have a tremendous impact. Tremendous impact on our world. And if we can support them in leading their best and being well as they're making really tough decisions, then that will have a ripple effect. And I know that. And that's important to the sustainability of tomorrow. It has an impact on my kids and then my kids' kids and so forth. So there's a ripple effect to this.
Yes.
And I tell you what, Alex, it's been very hard to lead since the pandemic. It is no easy feat, and support if ever is needed. And just, you know, leaning in to support, it doesn't make you weak. It actually strengthens you. I had someone ask me the other day, you know, why did my organization invest in this? You know, or, you know, am I going to be fired? And I'm like, absolutely not. I said, honestly, I wouldn't even show up to coach you if you were going to be fired, because that's not what I love doing. I actually love taking people from strength to strength and making sure that you're okay and sitting in a space that gives you the confidentiality to lean in and be vulnerable. And I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to listen to you. I'm here to understand you more, so that we can look at strategy to help you and support you in moving forward that you design for yourself. How often do we get to experience ourselves? Look at me as an echo. I'm an echo to your own voice, your own thought process. And it was, yes. They're like, oh yeah, okay, yes. I get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's work, right? And you know, there's sort of, sometimes leaders will see productivity and profitability and all of these pressures to be able to sustain those two key elements of running a business, right? So how can a leader strike a balance between, you know, pressure for profitability and productivity while also making sure that well-being and development of their employees is present. Yeah. How can leaders do that? How can leaders balance those two, what seem to be sort of rival factions, yes. right?
Know yourself first really well and know your people mm. and what drives them. There are some people that are driven by the bottom line. There's others that are not. And if anything, I could say it's a strategy to set yourself up for success. And sometimes we acquire teams and sometimes we build our teams. And the same token that go back to that, what can you learn from them concept helps build that strategy and what that looks like.
Mm. Yes. Yes. And do you see a rise in productivity or profitability with leaders that you work yeah. with? And if so, like, how do you see that happening? Yeah. Right. So where does that happen for leaders? Where do they see the increase of profitability and productivity when they take on this new style of humanity in leadership?
Engagement. People feel heard. People feel invested yeah. in. And when I can sit there and coach people in an organization and get rid of the noise so that we amplify up the truth of what's really there, it's a brilliant concept. You know, coaching is still used in the form of what I call ad hoc coaching, right? And what I love about LEADS is that we formulated a way forward where we can maintain the autonomy of every individual client, the confidentiality. And if we have enough clients embedded in coaching, we can simply roll up common themes to the leader. And it's almost like we become the pulse check within the organization. I call it the stock market ticker. As long as I've got coaches embedded in the organization, we can roll up information, which then, you know, I know surveys are done well, but when we were in the middle of a pandemic, we worked closely with a very large organization, and it's almost like we were able to move ebb and flow within every day. And how important that information was to roll back to make sure that the messages that were being sent were correct. Because it's not easy being a leader and doing a lot of change management and going after and actually giving out the wrong information. You have to go after what people are wanting to hear from you. And so it impacts communication. So if you have a coaching engagement where people are focused on communication, focused on accountability, and focused on belonging, those three right there can drive engagement and performance like none other. And it's because yeah. people see themselves in the design. It becomes almost like this co-design concept is what we hear from our clients. I feel heard. Oh, I saw that change has been implemented. And usually we had to wait like 3 years for that to happen. But once we get rid of all the noise where the leader, I mean, think about how leaders are normally high achievers, high performers, type A. Mm-hmm. If we get the right information vetted to them, they can make quick decisions. The decisions can be quicker. And that's what matters to them. Because time saved works well in their favor.
Yes. And healthy, open, transparent communication fosters collaboration. Yes. And yes, and people who feel heard and feel comfortable and at home to be self-expressed, well, they're going to be more creative. So you'll be able to have, as opposed to you as the leader being responsible for making all decisions, you'll be able to empower your team, and your team members will be open to suggest ways to be able to find solutions, be able to better collaborate, and all of that. The one thing though, and sometimes people don't even realize it, but sometimes there's pitfalls that leaders fall into, which sometimes inadvertently dehumanize their leadership style. Maybe some ways of engagement or some ways of communication. Mm-hmm. Can you give me some common pitfalls that they might run into and not mean to run into in terms of dehumanizing their communication and leadership style?
I would say assumptions.
Gotcha.
Assumptions. running off stories versus getting in there and digging into the facts. And this comes down to, you know, those conversations that sometimes are missing and that can, through a quick engagement, can create understanding and get rid of a lot of noise. And so I say to leaders, lead without fear. Lead to understand. Know your non-negotiables. Lead with intentions. And a purpose that everyone that you're leading can figure out where they belong. And always be willing to not always have every answer.
Yeah. And it's a lot of pressure as a leader to have every answer. Yes. And it's okay to say, hey, I'm not sure. Let's discuss it and collaborate it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Or,
what a way to bring a team together.
Or be on a phone call and say, you know what? I think this is one of the best questions that's really come to me. And I want to look back. I want to, if you'll give me a moment, I would really like to get back to my team and just double check with them and see what they also come up with in this moment. Because you can create reaction or you can stand with more of an upright posture and go, you know, I'm going to check back with my team and get back to this. I love when I don't have a reactive leader. I like it when sometimes, as even my maximizers just want to plow through things, they'll go, you know, it's great. That's a great question. And what happens when we take a pause to say, I want to get back to my team and sort of synergize on this a little bit?
Yeah, it gives them a moment to reflect.
Yes. And not only that, as receivers of those moments, I've been in those moments where I thought we need to make a quick decision. And then how much respect is dropped in that moment to someone to say, you know, I'm going to take a pause right here. I'm going to make sure that I'm aligned with everyone that is behind me. And it's like, wow, okay, I respect you. I want an answer.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you know, it's still respectful.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And your team is, that's full collaboration. Yes. Your team counts.
Yes.
And everything that your team brings to the table is then accounted for. So, wow, that's what a powerful way to look at leadership. And I guess the final question I have here, and I think we may have covered some of this, but if we were to extrapolate the single most crucial trait that a leader should embody, what would that be and why?
Oh, wow. I'm a processor, so this is going to hold me to the fire.
Take your time.
Yeah,
there's no rush.
Yeah.
No,
and it
right.
goes back to just what we said, right? Just me declaring that in the moment. I'm a processor. And I think that's such an important conversation or question. And Alex, you know, I'm not sure if I can pinpoint it onto any one thing other than being willing. Having the willingness to listen, stop, drive without fear, it's their willingness. It's what are you willing to do and to be and to stand on a stage and to stand on a stage yet look all around you and know that the performance is not just about you standing on that stage, but there's so much more and so many layers to that that helps us rise to new depths.
Yeah, the willingness, the openness. Yeah. You know, they say that leaders, or anyone really, not just leaders, but anyone who goes to see someone in terms of coaching or in terms of any sort of self-improvement practice that requires someone to be by your side and for you to collaborate with that person, it requires coachability. Yeah. It requires, like, you know, an openness to say, hey, I don't have all the answers, yeah, and I'm willing to put myself out, yes, there and share that, hey, I don't have all the answers, and I'm going to lean on my team and my customers and my employees and my partners to co-create what some of these challenges look like, yeah, right? And so at that point, you've now come out as being vulnerable. And most of the time, leaders feel that, hey, if I'm vulnerable, does that make me weak? And what I would counter that with is absolutely not, oh, because it takes strength to be vulnerable.
Yes.
It takes strength, right? Yes. So it actually shows strength, yes, to take on the old hierarchical way of leadership and to, you know, decree and to give specificities to your compadres that you work with is not collaborative. So
that's right.
I think that willingness is beautiful because that willingness opens the door to everything else that's possible through a coaching relationship, through leadership, through, you know, possibility to just be able to take on anything that comes your way. And being willing is the key to that. Yeah. So that is such a great trait for leaders to begin to embody, yeah, just a sense of willingness, yeah, a sense of openness.
Yeah. And
wow,
what, and let's go, just say it. What are you willing to not know just so that you can evolve? And what are you curious about? You know, what are you willing to be curious about versus always having to, what kind of energy does it take to always have to be in the know?
Like, a lot.
I'm like, doesn't that just, I'm like, even saying that. Oh, I mean, God. I sort of, you know, I've been there where I've, so, I, you know, I've had that ego feeling and I'm like, gosh, so tiring. And I'm like, and yet when we learn to surrender, to open ourselves up to what's around us and the resources, the people that we surround ourselves with, that right there is a game changer. Like, that's the team that I want to be on. I'm a former collegiate athlete and I'm like, you know, that's the thing. I don't have to know everything, but I need to know my position. I need to know my position well, and I need to be willing to listen to others. I need to be able to understand how others function so that I can empower them to show up to the game, be their best, and knowing that we're all gunning for something that is exciting on the other side.
Yes.
So, and celebrate. Even if there's a loss, there's something to be learned, and we celebrate regardless. So, anyway, the failure, you know, failure is not meant to define you. It's meant to refine you as a human. So that's the pursuit of life. And if we're willing at any point to let go, where something ends, those new beginnings will start taking shape. So if you think that your leading today is going to be the same, you know, 5 years from now, as a coach, I can love you through this and say, no, it's not. No, it's not. Because you're going to get better at it, and you will be better at it. You'll be a better human for it. And you, the life experiences that you gain as a leader from all those people you're leading will change you as a leader. And it's just the process of being willing.
I love it. And you know, something you said was just magical, which was that don't let failure define you, allow it to refine you, right? And so that is key, right? Just a quick mind shift around how failure can often become a beautiful gift and an opportunity if you allow the refinement that's available there to take hold.
Absolutely.
So that is such a beautiful way to close the show. Thank you so much for uncovering these secrets and your approach to coaching and your approach to empowering leaders to reset and recalibrate their goals and expand their abilities and transform into really impactful leaders of people and innovators and change agents. You just shared so much in this vast reservoir of wisdom and leadership. That's just such a gift. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Cindy. Mm-hmm. And those of our listeners in our audience that are interested to potentially work with you or learn more about you and your work, where would they go?
Leadscoach.com.
Thank you, Cindy. And I'm looking forward to working with you, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of these magical things that you're able to bring to leadership and to the communities that you're in.
You've been listening to The Alchemist Lounge. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find Alex on LinkedIn and Twitter at Alex Atwood and on Instagram at Alex_Atwood_coaching. See you next time on The Alchemist Lounge.